Now, shortly after Pericles' fall, the Persians placed Lycia under the rule of another local leader, not a Lycian this time, but a man who was controlling the kingdom to the west, the kingdom known as Caria. And the king that the Persians entrusted Lycia to was a king called King Mausolus. And I will be talking a lot about Mausolus in the next lecture. But I want to finish up telling you a few more things about Lycia, because it's such a fascinating region. I'll say that Lycia continued to be ruled by King Mausolus for some 30 years, until the year 332 BC, Lycia was liberated by Alexander the Great. And again, in two lectures, we'll be talking about Alexander in this region. But the later history of Lycia has some relevance to us that I want to just mention. Now, it was a small region, and over the next couple of centuries, it fell under the rule of a variety of leaders and ultimately became part of the Roman Empire. And again, we'll talk more about this in the future. But throughout all of this time, starting with its liberation by Alexander, we can actually recognize much of the independent streak that these Lycians had. Because for nearly 700 years, from the 3rd century BC to the 4th century AD, the Lycians practice a remarkably democratic local system of government. They called it the Lycian League. And we know quite a bit about it because later historians from the Greek and Roman world wrote about it and remarked on it because it was such a sensible and rational means of government. Now, within the Lycian League, there were 23 cities of Lycia, and these cities came together annually at a certain religious center and would vote together. Now, the number of votes for each city depended on its population. So large cities, such as Xanthos, would have 6 votes in the assembly, while smaller cities would have 3 or 2. Very small cities would have 1, and tiny cities might have to share a vote with another city or even 2 cities. Taxes and other public money were levied according to voting power, and the funds went into a central treasury to help support federal army and navy and other federal needs. So the Lycian League, then, is the earliest example of a representative government. The Romans, in particular, very much admired the Lycian form of government. And in fact, it's probably one reason why the Lycians were very late to be taken over by the Romans. The Romans actually allowed the Lycians to be independent until well into the 1st century AD. Now, for example, in the 1st century BC, this part of the Mediterranean was beset by piracy. And particularly in the region to the east of Lycia, it was not a safe place to sail because there were so many pirates that would attack ships, take the crew hostage, and demand great payment for the people to be repatriated. But the Romans recognized that the Lycians did not participate in piracy, and they thought the Lycians were quite noble that they, in fact, refused to be involved with piracy and, in fact, tried to capture the pirates. And the Romans associated this attitude with their governmental system. They claimed that the Lycian League was a form of government that fostered rationality, fostered fair play, and greatly admired it and credited it with making them an exemplary people. And the great political theoretician of the Enlightenment, Montesquieu, knew all about the Lycian League, and he wrote, "Were I to give a model of an excellent confederate republic, it would be that of Lycia." Now, the model of the Lycian League also influenced the U.S. Constitution. Both Alexander Hamilton and James Madison mentioned the Lycian League in the Federalist Papers, noting its representative government and annual Congress, and indeed, the U.S. House of Representatives, with its representation based on population, was actually inspired by the Lycian League. So you may not have ever heard about the Lycians before today, but in fact the Lycians are very influential on the way U.S. government has been organized. So the independent nature of the Lycians, as reflected by their refusal to be conquered by the Persians and their brief but brave attempt to be independent from Persia, seems to be borne out throughout their history. And in fact, they seem to be unique amongst the people conquered by Persia to have made any sort of long-term independence. In our next lecture, we'll talk about the people that were neighbors to the Lycians, the Carians, who also fell under Persian rule, but ultimately were allowed to rule independently within the world of Persia.
This ends Lecture 8. Remember to visit this course's website at www.modernscholar.com, where you'll find additional information about the lectures you've just heard. If you borrowed this course from a public library and would like your own copy of the course guide for future reference, call Recorded Books at 1-800-636-3399 and we'll send you a free copy. A shipping charge will apply.